This one no good? Okay. So if I walk away from the mic because I move around a lot, you know why. Take this one off. Let's see, the nice thing with, or the bad thing with this is, it can turn on during worship, and then it ends up really bad because I cannot sing. You know, ever remember a song, and you're trying to remember, you're like, yeah, remember that song, and you like try to sing part of it so your kids can get it, and nobody will ever get it. It's like, I don't know what you're trying to sing, Dad, or repeat. You know that worship song? No, we don't. So So it's good it's off in that sense. We'll be in Galatians chapter 6 this morning, and it's kind of been an interesting time for me. I've had an opportunity to come up here and share on Sunday and fill in and some of the men's stuff up here. In December, Calvary Chapel Manteca, we decided to close our doors, which is a different experience. And praying about it and stuff, and really praying about what I'm called to in my heart, just because of different situations and people moving out of state and stuff, the administration and all the things required to run a church business in the state of California and everything, I'm not called to do. I'm not called to run sound and stuff. I'm called to be in the trench. I'm called to be loving and serving people, and I'm not gonna, you know, run a sound booth and figure out streaming and all those platforms instead of sharing and being involved in that thing. And so we really kind of prayed about it, us in leadership. And me and my wife have gone off, and we, even though I still run a roofing company here full-time and stuff, we're volunteer staff with a evangelism explosion, to where we get to go out and equip people to share the gospel. And the leadership with the church, many of them are serving with us in that area, and then serving at Calvary Chapel Tracy and the surrounding Calvary's, Calvary Chapel Modesto and stuff. And so it's kind of been an interesting time, and it's really been interesting times going through COVID. I'm trying to operate a roofing company, which doesn't seem too hard with some of the COVID rules, and then you try to manage a church and what you can and can't do depending on your city and all these things. And going through that, for many of us, it took a lot of our time, it took a lot of our focus, and it was wearing. And then we come out of it, and now you're looking at gas prices and everything else, and as a business, and I'm looking at my general liability insurance, doubling my car insurance, and it's like, I'm tired. This wears you out, right? And it's like, I know we just came, many of us got us, you know, didn't go to work or had time off work or everything else, and it's like, I need a vacation from everything that went on, you know? And it's like, where is that time? Where is that refreshing? What's going on? And what was interesting, as I was at an event up in Truckee this weekend where we went out and shared the gospel and things, to realize, one of the guys sharing there, because evangelical explosions all over the world, COVID wasn't just something that, you know, was something that hit one area. It wasn't a tornado that went through a city. It wasn't a hurricane that went through a coast. It wasn't something that just happened in one country. We're talking something that's happened globally. There's been a literally global change that the whole world's gone through and suffering, and, you know, different countries to different extents. India, I know there was hundreds of thousands of people struggling to get home when the large cities closed down. They didn't have somewhere to stay. They're headed back to the village, traveling, all the issues that were going on with that. Hearing those things from my sister who's serving at GFA and my mom. And this has been a global thing that's happened. And you can sit there and you go, man, I just need a break. Like, where's the vacation from everything going on, in a sense? And that's where, when we come to the word, hopefully we'll be encouraging. I'm sure there's always conviction. My son says, he misses me teaching every Sunday. And I was like, why? Well, what reasons this and that? And he finally just came out. He goes, Dad, you're so convicting. I went, well, I guess that's kind of cool. I mean, sorry. So if I'm too convicting, deal with God. It's not my fault. Just repent. You know, I had a guy come to the church once and he said, I love your heart and everything, but if you keep teaching like that, nobody's going to come here. I said, what do you mean? He goes, you're convicting on this and this and this, and people don't want to hear that. I said, so what was God convicting you on? You need to change. Just listen to what God's telling you. Don't worry about, the church. It'll be fine. You know, you deal with whatever God's telling you. Don't miss that, you know? And so, anyway, so, if you feel like you got hit, it's not me. God's sufficient. And if you feel like you got hit, that's because I was going through it first, okay? So we're even. But as we sit here and we look at the scripture and these things going on, and and you go, okay, what are we supposed to do? I mean, okay, the economy drops with inflation. Should I be buying gold? Should I be, you know, storing grain up in barrels under my house? Or, you know, we can only have so many chickens until it's too much, but we'll have eggs and we can survive. I mean, you look at all the things you can do, and there's those guys, you know, that are like getting ready for this. It seems like they survive. You know, this, you know, they're talking about this calamity that's going to come, and they're preparing for it, you know, and they're running around worried. And guess what I'm here to tell you? They're right. We're on a ship, it's called the world, and it's going to sink. If you look in the back of this book here, it's going to tell you the ship's going down, okay? And it doesn't matter how much grain you have stored up. Nothing's going to survive it. But the ship's going down, but we have the hope of Jesus Christ. We have hope that's solid and truth. And as this storm has hit the whole world, it can become a distraction. Many of us men will go to, okay, how do we secure the ship in these things? And the hard thing in that is we can stop focusing on God and what he wants us to do. And we start focusing on trying to survive the storm instead of going, okay, I don't need to worry about surviving the storm. I need to worry, what God, what do you want me to do during the storm? You know, what hope do we have? The ship might go down, but I'm good. And who's not around me, you know? And so really this morning to kind of look at that and kind of just kind of regain our focus as believers and not be distracted by the things going on, because we are going to be going through storms. And it's a huge opportunity for the church, because the world's going through a storm and it scares them because they have no hope and they need it. We are in very dark times. The world knows that we, as a nation, as the United States, they've seen that, yeah, the bus has gone off the cliff. We're not going towards the cliff. It's like those cartoons where they're realizing, hey, we're in the air and we're going to fall at a point. You know, you got like that pause. They run off the cliff and they float there a minute. They don't fall until they look down. They're realizing, hey, something's off here. Something's happened. We're you know, the financial institutions are going. These are going. These things we had our hope in is all getting destroyed. Is all up for grabs. And what's the truth? What are we going to do? And so Galatians 6, verse 6 says, let him who is taught the word share in all good things with his teacher. And we're gonna begin there and get into a little more subjects about doing good. But when it comes to, I love to take the opportunity when you're not the senior pastor to teach this. Because we should be concerned about our senior pastor. And to the Galatians in this situation, the fact that, hey, if you're being taught and you're being fed by your pastor, share good things, share finances. And really, that's what it comes down to. It's your pastor, yeah, it should be a job. The Galatians didn't quite get this as a new concept in that sense, that your pastor, yeah, it's good that he gets paid and he's taken care of. And, you know, me as a pastor, I continue to work just because the needs of the fellowship was there. And I know Bob, his heart and desires for you guys way above his own, you know. And so when you look at that, yeah, it's good that he gets paid. And most of us in this room, 90% of us, and if you're not part of that 90%, you can be convicted. But the 90% of us have no problem with that. Going, okay, my pastor comes and works. I know he works. He does things. You know, some, you guys might think, yeah, he comes in on Sunday and teaches for a little while, and the rest of the week he golfs or whatever. No, there's a lot of work of the ministry that goes on, and we don't have a problem with that. But what seems to have happened in the church many times is we think, okay, so the pastor comes in, and that's his job, so I don't have to. I tithe Sunday. I'm paying the guy to do that. You know, yeah, we have the light of the world. That's our pastor, you know, and he's up there, and that's what we pay him to do until realizing, wait, no, where's my role in that? It's not, I'm not a paid pastor, so that's not my job. That's his job. He's the minister. And we can kind of switch into that gear, and maybe not as much as before. I know when Chuck Smith came on the scene, that was the thought, right? Equipping the saints for the work of the ministry was like a mind-blowing thought, right? Before you met your new neighbors, you brought them, you know, a gift over, you invited them for dinner, and you invited your pastor over to share the gospel and do his job. Right? You weren't going to do that. There's no way. You invited your pastor. And so, you know, Chuck Smith kind of challenged that big time. But at the same time, we can sit down and go, okay, well, how are we actively serving in this? Do we look at our lives based on our income and what we're doing? Or are we based on our lives and going, God, what do you want me to do? How are you leading? Are you the Lord, ruler of my life? And so when it talks about sharing in all good things with your pastor, that also goes beyond finances. You know, there's many times I think we can think, you know, our pastor, he's fine. He's doing good. You know, one of my wife's hearts was to get together with other pastors, ladies, and serve because, you know, it's really hard to be able to connect with people in a sense. And then you're, you know, well, my husband's a pastor. I don't really want to complain about him to everybody. So she has her family to do that with. No, but you know what I mean? It's like, you know, what happens when you're a pastor's wife? What happens when you're a pastor going through things? And then at the same time, you know, and if God convicts you with this, just repent. It's okay. God still loves you. But don't be talking down about your pastor to other people. You know, he's not perfect. He's a man. He's saved by God's grace. If you see an area where he seems to struggle, come alongside him and help him and keep your mouth shut. Frankly put, I don't think Bob would ever say that from here. You know why? Because I guarantee you, out of everybody in your life, okay, your pastor, maybe your mother, probably thinks about you more than once a week, actually is concerned about your well-being. Through the pandemic, through everything going on, I talk to Bob every once in a while, and no matter what, the subject comes up, how's the fellowship, how's this, and individual people we know, how are they doing, how are they going on? You know, can you think about how many people in your life wonder how well you're doing? Your boss doesn't. He just wants to know if you're going to show up for work. He isn't wondering how welfare you're, you know what I mean? Not too many people are actually concerned, not just about basic things, but really your heart, how you're doing, praying about that and seeking it. And so love him, encourage him, and share in those good things, the good things that are going on in your life. There's nothing like, you know, sometimes you think, oh, you know, I share this with my pastor. He already knows all the Bible stuff. No, I love it here. Wow, you know, I was reading my Bible. This was amazing. Send him a text. Hey, this is, you know how encouraging that is? Like, wow, I didn't know that guy read his Bible at all. Whew, awesome, you know. Maybe he'll pray for you a little less, you know. Share in those things with him. And be part of the ministry. He's not to be, you know, you have a heart. God's leading you guys as a unique fellowship. You're not part of this fellowship just by accident. God's placed you here, and he has a heart and a desire for this town, this place, and this time, this neighborhood, where you're placed at work, and wants to use you guys to minister. You guys are all light to the world in that sense. And come alongside him. Hey, God, what do you think, Bob? You know, I have this crazy idea. I think God might be leading me this way. That's the most amazing thing. I love it. Somebody comes up, you know, this sounds crazy. I don't think I can do it, but I think God's leading me this way. You know how excited a pastor gets when he hears that? He might not show up, but he's like, wow, you know, God's leading you this and this. That's so awesome to hear. And so as we continue and kind of we'll just let that sit with you guys if that was there for you. But as we continue, we're going to get into verse 7 here, and it says, do not be deceived, but God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, he will also reap. And you think, okay, God don't be mocked. And again, this isn't a guaranteed statement in every situation. You know, it's not karma in that sense. That's not what they're trying to say here. You know, if you are good to others, people will be good to you. That's not this kind of statement. But it's the fact that when you sow something, when you plant a seed in the ground, and that's what sowing is, you expect that to grow back up. I know that's complicated when a lot of us aren't farmers, right? You put wheat in the ground, you get wheat back, it grows up. You know, it's one of those things we produce, and it's interesting because I know I kind of joke about that, but there's a lot of young kids. I mean, when I was younger, I never thought what I sowed would reap. You know what I mean? How many thought about their school grades and all these things that you'd be reaping? You know, like, what do you mean? I don't know why I didn't get an A on that test. I didn't study at all. I mean, you know, those little things. But as you sow, you're going to reap what you put into it, what the things you let into your mind, the things you let into your heart. You know, there's many times I'll think, I'm not spending too much. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. You know, I'm only hearing that. I only watch that on TV once in a while. It's not going to really, no, it's putting seeds in my heart of those things, and you're going to reap it. And God isn't going to be mocked. Whatever you're focusing on, whatever you're seeking, there's going to be a reaping of it. And to slow down and look at that and go, okay, what's of value do I want to reap? You know, and he makes it clear here. He goes in verse 8, he goes, For he who sows to the flesh will reap the flesh and reap corruption. But he who sows the Spirit will reap the Spirit, or Spirit, reap everlasting life. So Paul takes this natural law, you know, what you put in the ground, you're going to reap. Whatever you sow spiritually, you're going to reap. If you sow to the things of the flesh, if you run around and you focus on what's going on with COVID or what's going on with the finances, and most of your time, all you're concerned about are the things of the world, the finances, and those things, that's of the flesh. Really, God's in control of it. God knows who the president is. God knows who he's allowed into those positions. We know the ship is going to sink, and there's going to be people in charge of that when it's just, God knows. And to slow down and go, okay, what are we really after? Am I after my finances? Am I concerned about this? Am I weary because I'm so focused on what's going around in this world that's going to crumble and fall anyways? What am I spending time in? What am I, you know, sowing in? What am I looking after? And that, you can stop and think about that and go, okay, well, I'm not sowing in the flesh. You know, that's most of us in here. I don't think many of you guys in here are really focused on, oh, you know, I want to be a millionaire, or I'm trying to get my, you know, portfolio to here, or you're actively involved in some kind of ongoing sin in that sense. But a lot of the times we are not reaping at all either. We're just going, you know, I'm not doing anything bad, so, but I'm not also doing anything good. So I'm just trying to not do anything. You know, just trying to make it to the end here. Heaven awaits. You know, and it's not like I'm trying to actively do anything. But when you sit down and you look and you go, okay, so what am I doing? Well, yeah, I show up to church, I support the church, I give to this ministry or that ministry, and then you plant a seed and there is a tree. And awesome, there's a tree. But we should be looking for a forest. You know what I mean? And we see this dark time we're in and go, okay, how did we get here as a culture? What happened? Well, there had to be some sowing that didn't happen to get to this point. And what you realize, go, okay, yeah, we're in a dark time. Well, how are we in a dark time? Well, because there isn't light. Well, why isn't there light? What was going on that there isn't the same light? What was going on where these truths that are basic are suddenly there, where now things that are horrendous, horrible, evil lies are accepted as the loving and right thing to do? I mean, you look at things in the culture, the whole transgender thing, what a horrible, horrible thing. Your child comes to you, says, Dad, I don't like the way I was made. And you say, darn right, I agree, I don't like you either. Let's take you to the doctor, try to get you fixed. They can't fix you. We're going to get the whole family together and pretend you're not who you are. That child goes to bed going, I don't like me, doctor can't fix me, and nobody else likes me. Wonder why they have such a high... I mean, how is that considered good at all? In what mind does somebody think somehow that's loving? Instead of saying, you know what? God uniquely made you. He didn't. You're not a mistake. Do you realize that? Nobody in here is a mistake at all. The only thing that's wrong is our programming. The Bible says the way you think about things, your feelings are off. Trust the word of God. Don't trust your feelings. And we're in a generation where trust your feelings, don't trust anything else, which is just insanity. I mean, if we trusted our feelings, everybody would be in mass murders every time there's a backup on the freeway, right? It's just, you know, you see these things, just go how you feel, go against the grain. I'm thinking, yeah, you don't want to do that. It turned out real bad. You know, it's just the reality. But they say it, and people listen to it, and they believe it, and it sounds so, what? Evil. Dark. And that's where many times it's hard. Like, do I speak up in that situation? Well, if I speak up, there might be some opposition. How do I share that biblical truth? I thought, I know what you're saying is wrong. I don't want to go, hey, you're going to hell. So how do I share that? Well, what's the truth? God made you. Don't mess with that. You know? Who cares if you're a little tomboyish or whatever? That's not a problem. The problem is the way you're thinking about it. And so we sit here and we look at this time and go, okay, yeah, we are in a dark world. And there's some kind of reaping of what's happened. But there's also something amazing happening within that. You know, there's a dark time, but here, you're the light of the world. There is, you know, the amazing thing in the dark room, if you go in the dark room with one candle, right, everybody can see that candle, right? Now, if you're in a dark room that was dark and you have 10,000 candles, it kind of gets blurred out, right? Well, guess what? Okay, so there's few candles. It's awesome to be the one being used by God. That's such a rush, I tell you. That's why I love going out and doing EE. I'll explain some of that a little later. But you sit there and go, okay, so we're in a dark world. But guess what? Do you ever see a candle walk into a dark room and the candle sitting there, that light's like, oh no, I'm so worried about all this dark taking me out. Look how much dark's here. It's just me. I don't know, that dark might overcome. No, it doesn't happen. But does dark have any chance of standing up against the light? No. You have the light of Jesus Christ in you in a dark world. The ship is going down and you're an invincible. You got heaven waiting. Me and Bernardo were talking in the truck we were just talking. He goes, yeah, you ever think about how you might die and all this? And we were talking about that in a minute. And it's like, do you realize the second you're dead, the second you die, no matter how horrible of a death you die, I mean, we're on a roof, so there's all kinds of things. Yard gnomes scare me, okay? So I'm just going to say that. Being on a roof, okay, I know how I'm going to go. It's probably a yard gnome. But, you know, you see these things and you go, the second I'm dead, I'm in heaven. I'm in the presence of God. You know what I mean? I mean, what happens if you ended up on a stranded? We're talking about, you end up on a stranded on a desert island and you're barely surviving for 5 years and you don't get rescued. You die. I'd be like, God, why? I mean, I could have been here 5 years. Why did I need a set? There's no ministry in this. What did I have to learn for 5 years on an island before coming to heaven? Like, what character growth that was going to ever affect anybody else? Like, you know, I could have died 5 years ago and been here. Why did I suffer? You know, like, you know, that would be, you know, that would stink. I mean, a minute, you're suddenly, you're 5 years of torture and suddenly, boom, at a wedding feast. What? You know? And you realize that and go, this world is not it. There's nothing that can harm you. Nothing's going to take away your salvation. Yeah, there's you know, powers, principalities, evil things that come. They just don't like the light. It's not it's such a minute thing, really, when you're out serving in that area and you go, okay, so what you sow, you're going to reap. What you reap in the flesh is going to go there. But the amazing thing is, here's the thing, okay? So, yeah, if you're living in the flesh, you're going to reap in the flesh. Yeah, you should be concerned. Because when a seed starts to grow, you put a redwood tree in the ground, it's fine. It's easy to deal with when it's small. When it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, then, you take down a redwood tree. If any of you had a redwood tree removed from your yard, you know that ain't a cheap ordeal, right? Again, you don't want to sow that. You don't want it to start growing. Deal with it. If there's something in your flesh and you're sowing in your flesh, be done with it. But the amazing thing and what I want to focus on today is he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. What an awesome statement for us little human beings on this planet. There's going to be everlasting life. We can actually have a part in what God of all creation is doing. And we get to affect other people's lives around us. We get to be that light. That right there just blows my mind that God wants to use us. Okay, the world's dark. I don't have to be a part of that darkness. I get to be alive. I kind of look at it like, you know, you get all these zombie movies and all that. But that's the reality, right? Most of the people you go to work with and everything else are spiritually dead. They're ran by their flesh. They do not comprehend what's going on. They're not alive. And here you have life and you get to share it with them and be part of that. It's such an amazing thing that we get to sow the Spirit. We get to sow the Spirit into our kids' lives, into our family's life, into those people around us. And it's amazing what God will do as His Holy Spirit works in us and through us. You know, this whole world, I mean, it is like, you know, if you're sitting there looking at a field, right, and you can see it, there's a crop out there and there's some weeds in it and everything. This last couple years is like a huge tractor just went through and tilled it all up. And it's turmoil and people are freaking out, going, what we knew and what we thought, just it all just got tipped over and tilled under, and it looks like another tractor's coming and it's going to till it over again. And whatever seeds get planted, there's going to be a new crop. And guess who's allowing the tractor? God. If you see God taking and you know, turning up a field and preparing it to be planted, that should be exciting. Well, guess what he's done in the last couple years with the whole globe? He's turned the whole thing over. And here we are called to sow. Here we are called to plant. Here we're called to do something. Now, we can kind of sit by and do nothing, but I guarantee you something's going to get planted. You ever go to start to prepare a garden, you start to prepare it, and you don't have the seed yet, and you don't have the water, so you don't do nothing, what grows? You know, it stays nice and ready for you. No, you get weeds and all kinds of junk going up, and you got to go back through it. Something's going to grow. And so even though the storm's going on and the world and everything else is going to sink and things are going to get disrupted, do not be afraid. You know, we sit down and we see these things going on, and it can be discouraging. And there's a temptation to pull back. There's a temptation to go, you know what, the world has gone nuts. I see the media, I see the stuff they're preaching. I see the things they're saying that, hey, we're supposedly, you know, what's okay and what's unacceptable. And I don't know if I say the wrong thing, if I'm going to jail, if they'll, you know, blacklist me, cut my business. I don't, you know, that seems like a lot of risk out there. You know, if I come out and say that, what's going to happen, you know? FBI going to raid my house? No. Sorry, I just had it. But you sit there and you look at these things, right? And it really kind of throws you off. And you can sit back and get defensive and go, okay, you know what we should do? We should get together as a Christian community. We should huddle down somewhere and stick our swords out. We'll go to Texas with everybody else. And, you know, or whatever, I know. You see these things and we can do that. And my daughter, she doesn't know I'm doing this. So there's a picture I have. They're going to pull up for you. And she, I think this was one of her doodlings, okay? She does art stuff quite well. And she drew this, and I saw it, and I'm like, oh, I love that. That's David with a sling. And I just want to put, fear not. You know, and back in the day, you used to have that on, you know, a little logo on your trucks and stuff. Fear not. Fear not. Because as a father, we can sit down and go, okay, we're going to sit around, and we're going to protect our kids from the world. Or we can fear not and be moving out. And what I love about this, which she doesn't even know, I haven't even told her, this looks like somebody's looking at David from her perspective as a child. And that's what my desire is, my kids and the people we serve would see. They wouldn't see the front of me. They wouldn't see how great I am. All they would see is, wow, look, running forward, serving the Lord, and we're going to follow. You know, David wasn't, you know, he was at war. He was a young, insignificant, but he saw a war. Guess what? We're at war. If you didn't think we were, I think we know no, right? Do you think that people are at war against the gospel? When you have the LGBT whatever community supporting against Israel and for Hezbollah. It's like, do you realize Hezbollah would kill you guys? Let me get this right. You're against Israel, who is the first mechanized army, and you have women in it, are okay with gay marriage. They allow gay marriage. They're not per se for it, but they allow gay marriage in their country. A woman can read and write without being killed. I mean, you look at all the things. Hamas, if you're gay, you're killed. If you're a woman, you can read. They would kill you. I mean, the things they want, and here you have this group that's what? And they're for Hamas. Like, no, you're both on the same side of evil. That's the only reason they're together. Guess what? They're against Christ. We were out sharing the gospel yesterday up in Truckee, and we got over to Donner Pass area anyways. And we're there, and there's a little, I guess, boat rental place. And we're just looking for people to talk. We don't want to interrupt people sitting, but, you know, was there waiting for somebody to come back on a boat? That's a good time to be able to share the gospel with them. And I tell you, every time, I'm glad they warn people. When we go out, when you get to the part of who Jesus is, and does this make sense to you? When you use that word Jesus, I mean, he is the example. You say Jesus, suddenly the dead cat in the corner crawls up the curtain and starts causing a problem, right? And we'll do it. We'll be sitting there talking. Suddenly their table's ready. Suddenly their Uber shows up. But hey, we're out. People are just hanging out. Nobody has to really go anywhere, right? Little near a little boat rental place. We're sitting there. And I'm sharing with a guy. And right when we go through the gospel of, you know, this is Jesus and he died for your sins and boom, boom, boom. And, you know, how do you think we receive this free gift? Sorry, sir, this is a private area. You can't be here. I said, well, they're okay. Are you guys okay with us talking? Yeah, we're okay. There's nobody really around. Like, no, this is a private thing. You can't be preaching the word here. You guys need to leave. So, okay, God bless you. We're respectful and leave. Like, how did I find out a whole Donner Pass Memorial place, the only place that was not state property, I guess? I'm like, you know, why? And I don't know who that girl is, if somebody else overheard or told her or whatever. She knew what we were doing. You're preaching the word. What scares me is, her saying we're preaching the word almost makes me think she's a believer and thinks we shouldn't be doing it in public. Which, you know, is that what the church thinks? Is that what kids think? Oh, it's improper and unloving? Oh, it's really unloving to tell somebody nothing and see what? The destruction continue in their life until the corruption ends up in hell? That's unloving. You know, and so we sit there and you look at it and the world is against it. But we want to be, you know, standing up, moving forward, fighting that battle, trusting that, hey, it doesn't matter our size, it doesn't matter our strength, God is with us. And verse 9, it says, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. So do not grow weary while doing good. And it can be, as we look at ministry, we look at stuff, sometimes, you know, you've gone to church for years and I've served here and I've done this and I've done this and done this, and it's like almost like, you know, me talking about football. It was all back in high school. I didn't even play college ball. So, like, you know what I mean? The glory days are behind me. Yeah, I used to serve in a ministry. I remember the tent days at Costa Mesa or, you know, wherever, the revival here, and going, no, don't stop. Don't grow weary. There's the church in general is getting older. Don't grow weary. Please do not. Continue to shine that light. Continue to be bright. There's a whole young generation that is hurting and lost and confused and lied to. And generally, you old folks, but I'm getting there. See, I need a little more gray and a little longer, and then you can call me Bob. Now, you know, and it's just one of those things, right? You guys have something this generation's lost, and they need. You guys have Jesus Christ. They need to know there is a God that loves and cares about them. Nobody's going to tell them that. And guess what? They want to hear it. 10 years ago, EE did a study, and their thing was they used to come up and go, okay, so as we go out and share the gospel, out of 10 people, one person will be willing to listen to us. And out of the 10 people share, three out of those one will be willing to pray for Jesus Christ with us. Okay? Guess what's happened this last year? 6 out of 10 people are willing to hear the gospel from you. And 4 are willing to pray to accept Christ right now. Yeah, sounds like a tractor went through the whole world and tilled things up and something's changed. You know, you talk about, oh yeah, back then it seemed like all these hippies just went around and told Jesus. You didn't have to tell them about telling Jesus, and people are getting saved left and right. Guess what? We're hitting that season again. That's just the reality of where people are at in the darkness. And, you know, I kind of like the fact that the world and the, you know, these people are actually, they're not hiding anymore. They're out in front. Nobody's shy about being a sinner anymore. They have flags for it. I mean, you know, when did they do that? Here, look, here's my sin flag. I'm waving it. You don't even got to convince people they're a sinner. They'll show you their flag. Hey, I have a flag for it. I'm proud of it. Like, you know. We go out and share the gospel. Like, I haven't had to explain sin, I don't think, once sharing the gospel. We have an illustration, everything. And you say, yeah, what's the problem with receiving this free gift of God from Jesus Christ? You know, it's grace. We can't earn or deserve it. It's a free gift. You know, what do you think prevents us from having that gift? I do. Sin. We're horrible. A minute ago, you thought you stood in front of heaven and you would go to heaven because you did good works. But now you're telling me you're a sinner 2 seconds later. How did that happen? You know better. You're lying, you know? People are really good at lying. I love it. You go out and share the God. I don't like God. I don't want to have anything to do with God. I want to do nothing with God. Okay, is it okay if I pray for... Oh, yeah. Let me tell you the most personal thing going on in my life. Okay? And I want you to pray to a God that I don't think exists. You're a liar. You know, it happens all the time. You know, it's amazing how people... You think how people are locked up. Just ask, hey, you know what? Before we like to pray, can I pray for you? Is there something... You'd be amazed what people tell you. Most intimate personal things, like, it's insane. It's awesome, awesome opportunity. So as we see it and we see God changing, don't lose heart, don't grow weary, because the field is getting turned. It's empty. Don't sit there and look at the empty field and go, oh no, what happened? Look at the empty field and go, God's preparing it. God's preparing this generation. God's preparing the hearts of these people to see what's going over. The whole world's been turned upside down. It's been tilled. And brothers and sisters and family, church, it's time to plant. It's time to look at eternal things. It's time to sit down and realize, guess what? The U.S. dollar isn't going to be there when you get old, most likely. The economy, yeah, it could all go drop. It could all go away. Our hope needs to be in Jesus Christ, and that's the only investment is worthy of anything. Is slowing down and going, God, what do you want me to do? You know, and there's going to be opposition out there. Some 17-year-old girl working for whatever, $15 an hour running boats is going to come get in your face and say, you can't be doing that here. Just, you know, I bet if I set up a prayer mat and I was praying a certain, nobody would have had a problem, right? Anything else but Jesus. The second you say Jesus, it's over. So what I recommend, if anybody ever comes up, sticks a gun in your face, just ask, do you know Jesus Christ? And they can run away. It's amazing. Do you know Jesus? Ah! You know, run. Actually, years ago, there was a lady, it was in the Reader's Digest, a guy was robbing her car, and she's like, okay, can I just get my Bible out? And she started praying for the guy. Guys, knock that off. Started praying for him. Ended up bringing him to church a little while later. I mean, it's like, why are you praying for him? Don't do that, you know? It's amazing. James 14:13. Come now, you who say, today and tomorrow I will go to such and such city, spend a year there, buy and sell, make a profit, whether you do not know what will happen to you tomorrow. For what is your life? Even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Sitting idly still and individually not serving the Lord, seeking, asking God, God, what would you have me do today? Is sin. He's either Lord of your life and he's ruler of your life or he's not. And many of us, we can sit and go, okay, well, we do this or we give to this good thing. God wants to use you more than that. Do you think God needs your finances? I'm not telling you not to tithe. Don't go there. Remember the first part of the sermon. Bless your pastor in any way you can and how God leads. But God doesn't need your finances. He doesn't. He needs your heart. He needs your whole life. He doesn't need 10%. He wants everything you have, every breath. And I guarantee you the return is amazing. We take, with EE, we go up and do these little events, and we don't able to teach the whole thing really well, how to share the gospel. We get them a basin one day because they're more involved with that. But to take them out and just show them what God can do. We're out walking through a park. On the way there, we pray, God, you know, this is yesterday in Truckee. You know, God, just lead us to people who are in need, who are hurting, who need you. First guy, right away, I don't want to hear about it. Okay, God bless you. Have a nice day. Next guy we go to, sitting down with a group of friends there. We share all the way up until that point, right? And I'm walking away. I'm going, you know what? We just pray. His friend said he was a Christian. I said, most of the time when these things end, there's somebody, God's working in that person's life. We weren't the only person sharing. God doesn't, you know, you can't walk away and go, oh, no, we didn't finish. What's going to happen? No, God's faithful. God loves that person. God's probably working in other areas. And his friend there said he was a Christian when we left. So when we're walking back across, his friend's out of the boat area. And so I was like, yeah, so you said you're a Christian. What does that mean to you? He goes, well, yeah, we fellowship here down in San Diego and this and that. And I was talking to him a minute. I go, awesome. And he goes, yeah, man, I've been on it. I've been talking to him. I almost feel bad. He goes, on the way up here, we stopped at a gas station. We're sitting there waiting for the gals to get all done, you know. And I just said, man, you know, we're getting away and stuff. But, like, where are you going, man? I mean, like eternity. What's the plan on your life? You say you believe in God, but you're not committed to him. There's more to that. And I've been sharing with him for years, and I started sharing with him. I'm like, dude, you're not guaranteed tomorrow. Just 30 minutes later, they totaled their car, and they're lucky they walked away, and we still came up here. And so after that, this morning, I was just talking to him. You know, you realize we were talking about that. Now you're lucky to be alive. And he goes, my friend who you were just talking to goes, like, how do we know really God's after me and wants me to know this? How many of we know it's not just you? And then, you know, we walk up, hey, yeah, we're from Manteca, and this person's from all the way over here, and we're just out, you know, sharing the gospel, and, you know, and his friend, and all three people there, we asked him, you know, his girlfriend or wife or whoever was sitting there, and there, and we asked this guy who's, you know, so it's just like, yeah, God's working. And he goes, after you left, I said, so what do you think about that? He goes, I think we need to talk tonight. So we were just praying. Pray for Mike last night that he was able to talk with Santos, and Satan didn't jump in there somewhere, you know. And there's, you know, that. So out of all there, okay, we run into a guy who got an accident whose buddy's been trying to share the gospel with him all weekend, you know? A little ways down the road, start talking to a guy, goes, yeah, this and this, I understand, but I've been a police officer, I've been these things, I've seen these horrible kids and these accidents and everything else. And I was talked, I just saw his face, and my wife and the others kind of went down the road a little more, so I just have some one-on-one with him and talk about it. I'm like, yeah, you seem like there's a lot of hurt and stuff going on, and you know the gospel, but what's... He goes, well, I've seen these horrible things and this and that. As I talked to him, his brother passed away 10 days ago. So just continuing, and, you know, he's like, yeah, I don't know about God. I just, you know, I don't know all these things going on and all this, and I pray, but it doesn't ever seem like I get an answer. And I said, we're just walking along and decided to share the gospel here with you. At everybody up here, you know, there's one other guy here, and you're the only two people we've come up here and we're sharing with today, and you don't think God cares about you? I said, I'm supposed to be training these people how to share the gospel. We're talking. I sent them down the road. I'm not doing my job right here. Why? Because I just know God wanted you to know that he loves and cares about you. And I can guarantee you he loved your brother way more than you could ever imagine. And just to, you know, have that peace and share, you know. And then, you know, and here I'm leaving with some guy in a park, and he's giving me a hug before we leave, who 2 seconds ago was saying, yeah, I know all about Jesus, when we got to that Jesus part. Again, the Jesus part. I know all about that. I won't have anything to do with it. Good. I don't want to talk to you guys anymore. And I just sent that away. Hold on a minute. I don't want to be offensive. And something's going on, and I just want to let you know I care. And, you know, wouldn't have thought that conversation would have ended in a hug, you know. God is working. You know, what's sad is his brother passed away 10 days ago. Do you think God's wanted to talk to him? Wanted to let him know? I'm thinking, you know, how many days this week did I actually wake up and say, God, what do you want from me today? How do you lead? I have this truth in this thing. Have I slowed down to even ask somebody? Did I even ask anybody, hey, do you need prayer? I guarantee you everybody in this world is going to go through this world, and if not often, but at least several times, they're going to ask themselves 2 questions. Is there a God, and does he care? Does God exist, and does he care about me? You know what the easiest way to answer that is? Is a believer to come up and say, hey, you know, we're just coming through whatever. Is there something I can pray for you? Because I'm going to pray to a God I know, and I'm asking to pray for you because I know that God cares about you. Do you know how much is said just in that to somebody? You know, and it's amazing to see. I had one guy we went up to share the gospel with, and I said, you know, if you stood before God right now, and he said, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? He goes, I'd slit his throat. Wow, that's interesting. I haven't heard that before. What caused you to come to this? You know, why is that? Well, I just think he's evil, and how could a good God allow all this stuff, and babies dying and all? He said, so at what point, how, was there something in your life that caused you to come to this view and this and that? Yeah, my 4-year-old brother got beat to death in front of me by my stepdad. Wow, yeah, that's horrible, man. You know, and I know God loves you and stuff, but yeah, there's definitely evil in this world, and, you know, God's just, and, you know, just talking, and I said, man, that must have been something really hard, and mainly just listened. And at the end of the conversation, I said, is there something I can be praying for you? Yeah, my girlfriend, you know, she just found out she had cancer. Okay, I'll be praying for you. But you know what's really hard when I ask people to pray, I realized? I don't know what happens. I could be praying for the next 3 years, and she could have been healed a long time ago, like, so is it okay if I just send you a text and ask, hey, how's your girlfriend doing? Fine, here's my number. So I text him, no response. One day I get a response. I broke up with her, I don't know. But can you pray for this? So last year and a half, I've been praying with this guy and sending it, well, you know, what does the Bible say about it? Well, here's a verse, you know. Yeah, that guy wants to cut Jesus' throat. Now he's wanting me to pray to Jesus for him. Like, and then what does Jesus say about this situation? I think his heart's been changing, you know. Does he know God loves him? All the horrible things that's gone on, somebody finally is sharing that, no, yeah, these horrible things happen, but there is a God who cares about you. And I mean, I get a kick at it because you think of going out and sharing the gospel. What's the worst boogeyman you'd run into? I think that's about it, right? I would kill him. Like, what do you do with that? Okay, that's interesting. Tell me more. You know, Uncle, it's a weird view. I mean, it's amazing to see these things and be able to share it. And, you know, if we do nothing, their seeds are going to grow. Somebody's going to come into that guy's life and say, yeah, look, how could God be a loving God and allow this to have happened to your brother? How can this happen or that happen? You know what I mean? And those seeds will be those things are going to happen. Verse 10, it says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those who are in the house of faith. Let us do good. How do you do good? You know, one of the worst things that can happen to you in the United States is winning the lottery, statistically. It takes you less than 5 years to be way worse off than you were before winning the lottery. So pray for that guy who just won the Mega Millions, because I didn't win it. So it's not a selfish prayer. No, but you look at that, right? And you go, okay, so how do you do good in somebody's life? What's a good deed? You know, and I see a lot of well-meaning people doing good things, feeding the homeless and all this. The only way I know how to do good is to seek God and go, okay, God, what's the best way to love this person? Because I don't know him, you do. You know what I mean? I don't know if I give him $5, if he's going to OD on fentanyl the next day. How can I love this person, God? Which means to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit means I need to be current with the Holy Spirit. It sure helps, right? If I want to ask God, God, lead me in this area to help this person. And God goes, Tim, let's deal with that sin in your life first. No, never mind. My self-righteousness, you know, my righteousness doesn't matter. God, I just want to serve other people. It's one of those things, you know, being a man of war, being a man of the word, of action, and of righteousness. Because you can be a man of the word, but if it never applies to anybody's life, what's the point? What if you know everything and God teaches you all these great spiritual lessons and it never leaves you? You never share it. It doesn't matter how bright of a light or how many, you know what I mean, how many watt battery and LED you have in. If nobody sees it, what's it matter? People stumbling around and it's pointless. So there's got to be action. And so you could be all about action, but if you don't have the word of God, you're not going to do any good. And I've seen that. You know what I mean? We in Manteca are having a problem with the homeless, and like every city, they're trying to deal with it. And you got a group here that doesn't want a shelter, a group here that does, churches involved here and there, and people handing out clothes, and people that want the people that are handing out clothes to get ticketed for handing out clothes. Because, you know, homeless people don't have washing machines, so when they're done with the clothes, where are the clothes? You know, all these, how do you know it's good to help these people? I do. Bring them home. But yeah, no, nobody wants to do that. They don't listen to me. I scare them. We've had a lot of people in our home. But, hey, what's the answer? Take them home. What? No, we're not doing that. I want somebody else to solve it in the name of Jesus. But anyways, how do you know what's a good deed? How do you know having a homeless person in your house is what you're supposed to do? Are you safe? Are you home? And are you this and this and this? There's some, we don't bring home everybody. There's some people I'm praying about and God says, no, that person ain't coming home. There's other ones you bring home and you say, okay, God, praise the Lord, we survived that one. Yeah. God knew, you know? So good things. Guess what else is a good thing? To pray for somebody. Real basic, right? What are good things we can do? Good works in that sense. To pray for somebody. To share the good news of the gospel. And if you don't know the good news of the gospel here this morning, and I don't know, you know, I know some of you, but not all of you, and the some I know probably need to hear this. No. You know, Jesus Christ came. Salvation's a free gift. It's not something you can earn or deserve. We, you know, God's loving and just, but he's going to be just and he's going to judge the sin in our lives. And we're all sinners. But he solved that problem, being able to love us and be just by removing the sin through Jesus Christ. He came down, fully God, fully man, and Jesus took that sin from us, took the right from us. He died and rose again so we can have that relationship with him. And all we need to do is receive it by faith, by just putting our trust from ourselves into him. That's it. If that's something you've never done, if I asked you and you said, hey, if you stood before God right now, are you sure? And he said, why should I let you into my heaven? And you have any other answer besides what Jesus did on the cross? Because we're all saved by works. It's just not ours. It's his on the cross. If you know what? I'm saved by what Jesus Christ did on the cross for me. Great. If you don't know that for certain, or if you've ever questioned, I don't know if I'm good enough, but I know Jesus died for me, don't question it. There's nothing you can ever add to the cross. Doesn't matter how long you're a Christian, how long you're not a Christian, how long you've surrounded in Sunday school or not. That's it. It doesn't matter how good you were or not. You know, nobody in here needs the blood of Jesus and the cross and his forgiveness any less or any more than anybody else. Shouldn't that make you guys feel happy? Like, do you ever feel anybody judges you or less or better than anybody? Guess what? Right now you know nobody in here needed Jesus less or more than you. Not even the pastor. pretty awesome. That kind of levels all kind of any kind of racial, social, or any kind of problems you have with anybody in that sense of thinking you're better or less or anything else, huh? It's like, guess what? We're all sinners and we're all saved. What an amazing thing that is. We're all loved by Jesus, you know? And if Jesus didn't love me, thank God for my wife. No. Pray for her. No. The most thing we can offer this world, the most good we can do in anybody's life is that they know Jesus Christ. You do not know if they have 2 seconds or 3 seconds left. I remember we met with a young couple that were, their parents were staying at the shelter. And a little, we met with them and shared the gospel with him, and he prayed to accept Christ. And the next day they were sleeping in a car because they were older and couldn't be at the shelter. And we're going to see about having them come up to our house. It was a Valentine's Day, about, I don't know, probably 4 or 5 years ago. And I get a call from Tony, who's down at the shelter, and goes, hey, Tim, something's happened, this and that. He was stabbed 38 times in the park by some other group of kids or whatever deal. And after that, he was never mentally all there again. You know, I'd visited him a couple times, but just the brain damage and stuff. You don't know. There's, you know, you think, well, what if I would have, I could have gave him a house or somewhere to live a night. Doesn't mean it would have been any good. What he needed first and foremost was salvation. And then we can get lax in that. We can forget, you know, and somebody, oh, you know, I'll share with them later or this or that. We can, I mean, the lame excuses I've made for not sharing God and Jesus with people are exactly that, lame excuses in the end, in the light of things. It's like, why would I miss that opportunity? So to encourage you guys have the light of your world in you. It doesn't matter. The ship's going down, but it doesn't matter. Heaven awaits for us. Yes, we are in the darkness. And if you're alone in an area at work where it's all dark and all this and all whatever lies are coming at you, everybody's going to have their eyes on you because you're going to be the only light in there. You ever end up in a situation and realize, you know what? I've never shared anybody in this whole area that I'm a Christian or I go to church, but somehow they know. Praise the Lord, right? Be that light. Continue to be that light and be bold knowing, hey, if God's placed you and you're the only light in there, he didn't make a mistake. He put you there for a reason. And he's going to give you everything. You know, amazing thing, God never calls us out to do something and doesn't give us the tools to do it. This doesn't happen. You know, I'm a roofer. I know that. I don't send a guy up a roof without the tools. Like, you know, why would we think God of all creation would do anything different? You know, but, you know, I've accused him of that. You know, so let's pray. If the worship team would come up. Dear God, we just thank you that we can rest in peace knowing that who you are, that you are in us, you dwell in us, that there isn't a place we can go that you are not. It doesn't matter what part of this world, what darkness area or whatever we go, Father, you are with us. You are already there. God, we just pray that we would continue to be that light, that as we've looked at the turmoil and the things that go on, that we would see your heart for this world, that you're intentionally allowing hearts and things and the wealth and the hope of this world to be turned upside down and destroyed, God, that those of this world would look towards you. God, help us to be that light. We pray just for this world, for this nation, for the city, God, that those around us would see and know that there is a God that loves them, that desires to be known by them, that you know and you care about them. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.